Evening.
This worship make me think of one verse. It said that dwell in the house of the Lord, dwell in His presence for one day is better than 1,000 days without Him. Amen. It's just so good. So many songs, every word I feel that's from my heart. It's really in my heart. I will sing. There's no other name but Jesus. I know today is the first day, and I know that there is a good problem. I heard that there are many, so many of you are here, and Mr. Johnson told me some of y'all have to sleep on the floor, right? Have to be on the floor. That's you remember that verse. I believe that we enjoy so wonderful that's in His presence. God has a divine appointment with every one of us, with every one of you today. Start from today is a whole week. God has His divine appointment. This is so wonderful. I remember that on the last day of 2005, I came to this place. I'll tell you why later. But since then, several hours later is next year, 2006. But I studied here for 1.5 years. And this place, God has prepared so many godly, faithful servants who has so much experience, who has so much passion, can help us, guide us to have a good foundation on the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope tonight, through my testimony about the 16 years in the past, how the Lord saved me and do His mighty work through me, that you will see and understand that Jesus Christ is not a religious name. It's a person. It's a living Savior, even though He is invisible. But He is real. And the Bible verses, it's not just some knowledge. It's bread of life. And the water, as the Lord said, that you drink it, it will become a fountain in you and spring up to eternal life. So praise the Lord. My name is Wei Hua Liu. You say, that's Abraham. Yes, Abraham. I'll tell you why Abraham came the name of Abraham. But I gave a title for the slide. It says, from a beggar's son to a son living for begging. You may don't understand. I said, what that mean? A beggar's son, you understand, right? You may not understand because this is such a richly blessed land, country, nation. I came from China, the other side of this planet. My parents were beggars. They begged for over 600 miles. Finally settled in the most poor country village. I have three brothers. And then I'm the only one went to university. After that, when I was in university, you see this. I know that most of you not born in 1989, right? But you're little. You're too young. But this is in 1989, which is 24 years ago in this month, June. On Tiananmen Square in Beijing, this is the capital of China. On Tiananmen Square, that's the biggest square in the whole world. Millions of people has a big students' movement fighting for freedom and democracy. Why? Because the country, the communist country, is so corrupted. We study in university, we graduate, we will not be able to go to find a job. You are assigned to work. It means that if you don't have money to bribe, if you don't know somebody on the important position who can help you, and then no matter how good you are, you could not find a good job. You could not get a good job. So for that, people rise up, began to fight for this freedom and democracy in Beijing. There is a suicide squad team. It has 106 people. Suicide squad means I want to die. I feel that life has no meaning. No meaning. I saw that from the beggar's family. I became a university student. I graduated. I will have a bright future. Then I realized, oh, I don't have money. And I don't know anybody who are on the great position. So when that movement happened that I want to die, I became one of the suicide squad members. Many of them killed. You go to Google, find the 6-4 Beijing Tiananmen, the slaughtering. Many, Many were killed by machine gun, many were killed even by the tank. They became just a... But the Lord, no. I would say that's a bad thing, I didn't know. But my life was specially was spared. I was at large. In this month, the whole country, there are so the police run to the whole country to arrest. There are so many people arrested. So many people were thrown in jail. I mean, university students. I was at large. I came back to school. My schoolmates asked me, I said, "You're dead. Everyone knows you're dead." I said, "I'm still alive." Life was no hope. And then after graduation, I found a job. I was assigned to work as a technical school. It's poor. People look down upon poor people. So I went to Beijing. I became a tourist guide. I sold my teaching job. I sold it to my other teachers. They teach for me. They take my salary. I pay them some money. So I sold it, and then I became a tourist guide in Beijing. I saw that when I have money, my life will change. Yes, it was changed when I got money. Sin came in. No, sin came out. Actually lived out. In the States, there is a kind of flour called self-rising flour. You know that? Your mom makes some cornbread or something with self-rising flour. In China, we don't have that. Self-rising flour, you go to Bailo or Walmart or Ingles, it's right on the shelf. It was not rising. But when you take it home, it gives some water and then temperature, it flushes up, right? Man, it's just like that. I was a good boy, but when I had money made me worse. I was not faithful to my wife. I had a lot of bad things with girls, women. And most of the nights, I stayed in the nightclub. My life was a mess. My marriage almost came to the end. Even though by then, I still said, oh, who can help me? Who can help me? I need help. I still love my wife, but I just can't help myself. The power of sin controlled me. Totally dark. And my wife said, this is the time we divorce. By the beginning of 1997, I came to the States to do business. It's a dog business. How many people have dogs at home? Oh, look at that. Every hand almost. But in China, from 1976 to 76, that's 10 years cultural revolution. All dogs were killed. No dogs. You may say, why? There are no dogs. The dogs are the corruption for the capitalist country. Yao people, you can have dogs, but not for Chinese people. Mao said, that's a chairman. He said, we don't even have food for human, let alone dogs. Kill them, eat them. So we kill all the dogs. No dogs. That's why when there is an opportunity come, and I came to the States to try to do dog business, that'd be a very big business. Very big business. You know why? Because in China, it's one-child policy. Only one child. Today, most of those one-child families, you know, the boy is just like the king at home, and the girl is like the queen. So whatever they want, they have. Their parents will try to buy them. So I saw that opportunity. I came to the States to do the dog business. First time I got to New Orleans. I got to New Orleans is Mardi Gras. No, first of Super Bowl. Super Bowl in the Superdome in New Orleans. It's a long time. People are crazy. I said, what happened here? It's like a Tiananmen Square. It's like in 1989, so many people. We say that the people are crazy. They say, I want a ticket. They say, for $800, I want a ticket. People. And then after that is Mardi Gras in New Orleans. Mardi Gras, crazy people. I said, wow, there's no business here. So I ran away. I went to Seattle. In Seattle, I have a friend in Seattle. I went to visit his old friend. My life was just suspending until the March the 9th. That's March the 9th. So I didn't want to go back home, actually. See, I just feel I came to do business. I saw that the opportunity, that would be a real big business. I can be successful. I felt very confident. But there was no business for me. That day, March the 9th, something changed. something happened on my, I mean, actually, in the morning, I'm still fine, but it seems that in the late morning, something changed. He said, well, I began to miss my wife, miss my son. I said, well, I came to do the business. Even in the morning, I didn't feel that I want to go home. Why? I have a strong desire, I want to go home. I could not help myself. I called the airline, I rent the tickets. So, next day, I want to go home. Miss Chinese food. That night, that's the only night in my whole life. Till today, I'm 49. Till today, the life, I have only one night that I got insomnia. I sleep good. Really, a lot of times I have food in my mouth, I was sleeping. Today, yeah, you can sing, Asen can play guitar, well, I can sit there, I can lie down there for 3 minutes, I can sleep, I can snore. Good, but I could not sleep that night, could not sleep. And I think I went to bed at something like 11:30, something like that. But I just could not sleep. My eyes will have to open. You know, you close your eyes, it's harder. Better to open it. Open it is easier. After a while, there is a voice came in. It's a message. It said, go back to New Orleans. Then back to China. And then try to sleep. And then after a while, then come back. Go back to Louisiana. Then back to China. Go back to New Orleans. Then back to China. I struggle. I don't know, you are too young to have that experience, but this is my experience. You may ask your parents or grandparents, they will know that. Some. I struggle, I say, what happened now? I have to talk to myself, I talk to that message. I say, I have decided to go back to go back tomorrow. My ticket is rented, everything. I miss my wife, my son, my Chinese food. And that voice, that message paid no attention to whatever that I react. Just go back to New Orleans. Then back to China. So finally, I struggled till 4 o'clock. 4 hours. Finally, I said, maybe I should go back to New Orleans. I feel asleep. 2 hours. 2 hours sleeping. You know, struggled for so many hours, 2 hours sleeping. Ooh, I got up full of energy. No tired, no sleep at all. As long as, as if I had a wonderful night for sleeping. But next day I went got to Seattle, got the ticket, I ran to New Orleans. On the way, I was on the plane, and I woke up. I said, where am I going? No, I said, my wife's supposed to be in China, I should go to China. He said, I told her already, why am I going to New Orleans? But he's in the plane already. So there, When I got there, we had a friend, his name is Tom Treadway. Tom Treadway found a business partner, his name is Robert Bureau. Robert Bureau took me to his home, and then he asked me for the evening supper. He said, y'all like a Coke? I said, yeah. Yeah, sad, very sad. And then he asked me a question. He said, you have been in the States for a long time. What's your impression to China, to the States? I said, hey, before I answer you, give me an answer. Answer me a question first. I said, I have a question. Something troubled me all these days when I'm here. He said, what? I said, wherever I go, I see the cars. He said, yeah, American, everyone has a car. Okay, I said, every car I saw has a fish at the back. Some fish has something in it, like a lighter, some just empty, but the same fish. I said, what's that fish? I know the cars. Toyota, Honda, Chevrolet, Ford. I know that. But different cars have the same fish. I said, what's that? Robert took out his necklace. His necklace is a fish. But inside there is a small fish. I said, well, yeah, the same fish, but not a small one in it. And Robert said, well, you know, let me tell you, this big fish is me. This small fish is God. I said, what? I said, Robert, I mean, God is smaller than you. He said, no. I said, actually, it's God lives in me.
He said, those cars you saw with a fish on it, those people are Christians. Christians are the people who believe God, believe Christ is their Savior. I said, oh, okay, wow. Those people are God's people. He said, exactly. I said, well, I have no interest. I said that, but I said, I have no interest to that. Let's talk something else, because I feel that's religious. And then the next day, they brought me to the club, to the Continental Kennel Club. And some people know McRoy, he was here. Continental Kennel Club in Walker, Louisiana, in the East Parish of Baton Rouge. And when I got to George Fondo, who is the president, who was president by then, that's into his office. George was a big guy. He was not as tall as I am, but he's huge. he woke up like this. He woke up. He looked at me. His eyes, his mouth open, his eyes. He didn't do this, I just show you. I said, what? I look at myself. I said, I'm not dressing properly or what? And then he said, hey, Mike, come on, get some drinks. We have some guys here. Come on, get some drinks. So Mike came, get some drinks. Everyone talking. Tom Treadway said, hey, George, this is Leo. He came to do dog business with you. And we were there for something like half an hour. And George gave me $100. $100 bill, that's a lot of money, right? Oh, not a lot for you. But that's a lot of money for, I said, well, he said this, he said, go to eat whatever you like for lunch, lunchtime. I said, wow, look at this guy. He's so generous. He's so happy to see me and give me $100 for lunch. We went to have church chicken. Can you believe that? We went outside, Robert asked me, hey, what do you want? I said, fried chicken would be good, and there is a church chicken. Everything related with church chicken. And after church chicken, we came back, and I think that there were more people came, and some people talked with me for a while. And then George asked Mike to take me around, show me around. Then I came home. Show me around. After half an hour, I think we came back, and George said, hey, we just had a board meeting. We want to make you the representative of our company in China to do business for us. I said, wow, that's what I'm dreamed of. Why I came to the States? I said, I began to understand that dream. No, that night, why I could not sleep. That message came. Look, here there's an opportunity for me to do this business and for this American company, earn money in China. I feel happy. I said, yes. So 3 days later, there's a big reporters meeting. Make everyone know that this man became the representative of CKC, Continental Kennel Club. Continental Kennel Club. 6 months later, I went back to China. 6 months later, I brought the mayor's delegation to Walker. The mayor's delegation is here we try to set up a business background. You know, if you want to do big business, you have to have a strong background, government. So it's at that time, at the ceremony of the sister cityship, Sister city ship. After that ceremony, everyone is dancing, eating things, taking pictures. They invited a senior pastor from New Covenant Baptist Church, came to pray for these two sister city people. And after that, this couple walked forward to talk to me. Some people recognize that's Pastor Jerry. And he came to talk to me. And while he was talking with me, I feel very, very excited from inside. I feel good. I said, wow, I feel good. I don't know why, but I feel good. I told him, I feel good. He said, I feel the same. Hope to see you again. He said, hope to see you again. The Sunday morning, that following Sunday morning, actually that day was September 5th, 1997. September 7th, 1997. Early morning, I was sleeping in the office. There's a couch bed. And Mike Roy called me. He said, what's your plan for today? I said, sleep. He said, hey, let me take you to church. I said, no. I have no interest to church. He said, why? I said, church is just some old ladies,
some people's marriage got broken, people seeking for a kind of spiritual comfort. I said, I don't need that. Hey, Pastor Jerry will be there. I said, who? He said, you said that the pastor that's who prayed, remember? Day before yesterday, he left a great impression. You told me. I said, yes. He said, he will be there. He preach. He preach. He speak. Will you go to see him? I said, oh, yeah. Sure. So going to the church, my first time in this country is to see a man who left me a good impression. Why? Because his face looks like my daddy. I believe some of you will understand that. Like my daddy. This man has no relation with me, but his face full of love. When the love is there, it makes me feel just like my daddy. So I went there. It's on the... And then Maya came and took me to the parking lot, to the church at the parking lot. Right at the parking lot, we came out of the car, you know, September 7th, said, that's a very cool morning, wonderful. And I saw another car came, parked there. The wife and the husband came out of the car, and the kid came out. It's a girl, it's a little girl. I think it's just something like 7 or 8 years old with a white skirt, especially arranged for me, the Lord. He said, this couple... Wife take the arm of husband, like wedding. I had never seen that in China. It's, the wife take the arm of husband, they all dress neat, their face are shining, and they look at me and say, hey, how are you doing? Hey, how are you doing? How are you doing? I said, man, I learned how do you do? But he said, how are you doing? You hear me? So I said, wow, good. Well, when they passed, and the husband and wife walked, and their little daughter carried the Bible case like this, walking. Wow, right in front of my eyes. I said, what's that? I never dreamed of such a happy family picture. Never. In China, during the 10 years Cultural Revolution, over 50% of the city people, the husband and wife live separately. They live separately. Husband and wife live hundreds of miles away. 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, maybe they can see each other once. So I said, I have never seen this. Wife take the arm of the husband. And the child was so happily follow. When I saw that, I had another picture in my mind. That's my wife and I. We're fighting, quarreling, fighting. And our son, Hao Tian was at the back of the door, said, Daddy, stop, Mom, stop, Daddy, stop. My man, the picture is here, and I saw that. I said, I want that. Who can help me? Who can help me to turn that dirty page over? Who can help me? Bring me to the zero point, zero. I want to start from the very beginning. Help me to have a life like this for one day, please. For one day, and let me die. I'm satisfied, thankful. Please, help. I cried from my inside. You know what? There's another voice came in. Another said, you are a wicked man. This is not for you. Maybe next life, after you die. Not for you, this. I said, oh yeah, I know how dirty I am. It's not for me. It's only for good people. I don't deserve this. And then, I know how dirty I was by then. Very clear. I was not faithful to my wife, not faithful to my son. It was just a mess. I know I deserve this punishment. Bad life, hopeless life. And then McRoy took me to Sunday school. At Sunday school, you know, that's my first time. Oh, I said, wow, this is called Sunday school. There are different groups, you know, different ages. McRoy brought me to the senior group. I said, look at it, old lady, old man. Only the old man, I was pride, very pride. I said, old man, look at them. But they say, hey, hello. Well, I said, okay, well, they may watch the TV, see that I'm the representative of this company. So, but in China, it's like that. If you are official, well, people just, hey, how are you? Like that. I saw that Americans do the same, but actually not. So, I sat there. I feel that I walked in like an elephant, you know, pride. And sat there. But then the Sunday school began. When the Sunday school began, I just totally lost. I learned English.
I can speak some English. I can understand some English. But these people are speaking English, but I don't understand what they're talking about. Those things, I don't understand. Anything, I don't understand. Those words, some of the words I know, but put together, I don't know. I said, what are you talking about? Those words, never heard of. Justification, crucifixion, Christ, grace. I said, what's that? I don't know. I don't know exactly where. I just gave some examples. So, but it's like this. What amazed me? That thing made me, well, something, they are speaking English, but they're talking. I don't understand. Puzzled me. That's number one. Number two, most important is, I saw every one of them. Look at these old ladies, old men. Every one of them have such a thick book. On their lap. Here. Everyone can find the same sentence in this book in just a second. I said, wow. Have you ever watched the Kung Fu Panda? I said, wow. Really, I said, wow, it's unbelievable. How many sentences will be in that thick book? How could they can memorize the whole book and they can find this, they know exactly which sentence is where and they can find it in just a second. I said, I will never be able to make it. This is not the power from this earth. That humbled me. That humbled me. So I, like an elephant, that I shrink like a mouse. Like a mouse, right? Like a mouse at the corner. I really wish there is a hole there that I could run away. I feel shame. I dare not even get to look at them. I feel this. I feel that those people, even though McRoy was sitting by me, shoulder by shoulder, but I feel all these people, they are in a big ball, like with excellent transparency. They are in another world. I'm out of the world. I don't belong to the world they belong to. Is that true? Yes. They were believers. I'm not. Of course, two different worlds. But that time, I had that feeling very, very clearly. He said, they belong to the world, something that I don't understand. I have no way to get, I have no way to match. Then the Lord humbled me through that and then bring me to the sanctuary, the main sanctuary. And there they have a lot of people. Like I think it's, the church is like that. They have about 300 people. And there's very front, the row. There are two seats. Mike took me there and we sat there. We just sat there. Pastor Jerry walked from the left front door, came to me, and I stood up. I just stood up, and he gave me a hug. You ever been hugged by Pastor Jerry? That's good. That's good. Oh, he hugged me like that. And he did, hey, come on. Come on, boy. Let me do you. Yeah, come on. Yeah, that's good. He just said, yeah. He hugged me like this. He hugged me like this. Thank you. You feel good? Wow, he hugged me like that. He hugged me. Tears came out. I cried. Why? Because in my whole life, never had anyone hugged me like that. I was raised just like a pet, an animal. No, not pet even. So in China, we parents never know how to bring them up. You don't listen, spank, terribly spank. If you listen, you just said time to eat, you eat, time to work, you work. So, never. My brother hugged me, but that wrestle and throw me on the ground got me unconscious. So never has anyone that really hugged me like that. And he turned me over to the whole congregation. He said, today we have a special guest from mainland China. His name is Liu Weihua. That's my name. Liu, I just feel from that moment, because all the people did that. Can you do that? You brought me back 70 years ago, back to New Covenant. Make me feel so good. Because that moment made me feel I'm just like a piece of leaf floating in the river of love. And my heart opened. Pastor Jerry preached tithes. He said everything in the world was made by God. Everything you have, your house, your car, your life, your children, even your own life is a gift from God. If you're not willing to give a small part of what the Lord has already richly blessed into your hands. I remember he said this. How can you expect more? How? Sounds like
Kung Fu Panda again, huh? How? I said, wow, yeah. Yes, I don't know amen. So I said, yeah, I understand that. Yeah, well, all from him, and then you give him back. I said, Father, well, you buy a pack of candy, you give to the kid, return to the daddy, you have one, and the next time you buy him tennis shoes, right? So I said, I understand that. Yes, good. So after that, what I want to talk, after that, there are over 100 people lined up. Everyone came to greet me. He said, how are you doing? Oh, so good to have you. We love you. God bless you. And I hope you enjoy your stay. When will you leave? Hope to see you again. If you like Chinese food, we'll take you to a Chinese restaurant. Overwhelmed. After that, Pastor Jerry came. He said, Weiwa, how do you feel? I said, feel great. He said, how? I said, I feel that everyone loves me. He said, everyone is a vessel. The love is from the God they believe and dwells inside them. It's God love you through them. I said, wow, God is good. Pastor Jerry said, do you want to live a life like them? I said, yes. This is his word, right, meet the need of my heart. I said, yes, I want. He said, do you know what that means? I said, be a Christian. I believe Pastor Gerald continued to talk to me more about, but I stopped him. I said, hey, you talk about giving tithes? Let me give some money. Well, that scared him. He said, no, no one expects your money. I said, well, when you talking about giving back to God, well, I just feel, I know I want to do something. I really, otherwise I feel not peaceful. He said, unless you feel uncomfortable, he passed me an envelope. I put $60 in, $20 for my wife, $20 for my son, $20 for myself. I have only one son by then. You know what that means? It's right that time, God reconciled the relationship between me and my wife and my son. First in my heart. Make me feel that my wife and my son, we are one family together. After that, I came out of the church building. Sky changed. I want to run like the soccer scored, huh? I want to run. I feel that from my head to my toe, spiritually, physically, I was totally cleansed. Like a dry shell, put some feathers, I can fly. That's I'm talking about the truth. That's my feeling right then. And Mike Roy called George. George, Louis saved. That afternoon, the company, CKC, had a meeting. They called the others, people, the team, they called Elwin and their wives and families. They called together, and Jordan and his wife, Trudy, made me know two things. Number one, the night, 2 days before I came to their company, they had a prayer meeting. At the prayer meeting, some of them, I believe, are a little bit charismatic because some of them speak in tongues. And after a prayer meeting, this is Mike told me, Mike and Tim called Alwyn, all together went to George. He said, George, we hear that you tongue something like Chinese. How do they know Chinese? Their company started from 1991 till 1993, till 1997. Those 7 years, never there is a Chinese. From Hong Kong, from Taiwan, from Malaysia, never. Singapore, never. From States, never. There's a Chinese came into their company to do business with them. How do they know that sounds like Chinese? It's because of 1989. They watched the channel, a lot of channel all the time. It's about China, Tiananmen is where I was by then. So they said, George, you talk something like Chinese. George said, well, maybe the Lord wants us to do something with China. 2 days later, a Chinese man came in. And that's why his facial expression is a stranger. Huh? Which night was the prayer night? What happened to that prayer night?
Amen, Mr. Johnson.
That very night, I could not sleep. I want you to take a picture. I want you to picture this. You see, Walker, Louisiana is almost at the south end of the United States. Right? Louisiana, very south end of the United States. Seattle, Port Angeles. From the window, out of the room, the window, I can see the lights of Vancouver. That's Canada. The very north end. Stars. Dark, but stars. When the group, the two rooms with lights on, when the group there, people are praying, seeking the Lord's leading for their business, the plan for their business, there's a man there who could not sleep. See that picture? See that picture? So tonight, through this testimony, through my experience all these years with the Lord, I want you to know that Jesus Christ is real. Our God is real. It's not just a religious something, knowledge. No, it's a real living person. I know a lot of you are Christians. In this group, I believe there are three kinds of. One group is they are saved. They know they are saved. And there is a group, there is some people that are not saved. They know they are not saved. But some people, you think that you're saved, but you may not. You may just have some knowledge. Bible verses in you. In your mind, but not in your heart, this living Lord, person. This true relation, personal relationship with Him you need to have. Only in that way, when that miracle happened, you are a real Christian. Man could not, if man has son, has life. Man does not have son, has no life. So that is after Sunday school. That's Charles MacDonald, and that is McCroy. And after that, came so this passage, hey, this man is saved. Look, I have long hair back then, right? Nor the hair is too short. Actually, this is my father's gift from my wife. He takes a clipper, zzz. He said, uh-oh, this is too short, zzz. And he said, uh-oh, this is too short. So it's like this. Anyway, that's Pastor Jerry. You kind of, I put a word on there. It's saved on September 7th, 1997. And went back to China, you know, by God's grace, so we started the house church. This is the church I planted. We have most of these university students and teachers, professors. Why? Because I found that a lot of house churches has no pastors. They need preachers. So a lot of things, we did a lot of baptism. Baptism is, you see that pool? That's family pool, right? Family pool. I found it in Tianjin, in American Chinese brother's house. I said, wow, what's that? That's good. I said, I need that. I emailed Pastor Jerry. Pastor Jerry sent me one. And that one was widely used. Every church borrow. I said, Pastor Jerry, if next time you come, bring several more. And the church donated several more. And it's widely used. People just, you know, take and use. We don't know how many people were baptized, but they, with that pool, I myself baptized over 700 people. And but we baptized in different wherever the water is. See, that's a bathtub. You see that? And then this is the Pacific Ocean. Actually, that sister took care of our church kids, and my wife and I, we had a meeting in Shandong province, and then we feel that we would take her. She said, I need to be baptized. I said, would you mind to be baptized in the ocean? So we baptized her right there. And the other picture, you see that's dark because that's in the midnight. It's a village. They have over 200 people waiting to be baptized, but in the midnight. Why? Because we have to do it secretly. The 200 people baptized, the only thing they have is a big jar. Look at that jar. You know, there are several stools with coal burning stools to get them heat water. It's still cold, you know. There is a group of people getting ready for the water. And that big brother, I take that picture is because after I said, baptize you in the name of Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy Spirit, and he scratched down to the jar, half of the water came out. So that's a beautiful, beautiful memory. So you see that at the back, there are many people there watching. Actually, most of the
people are waiting for me to be baptized in that inside the house. They're praying. So that's some trainings the Lord did through me. The upper one on the left, on the right, is for the young people, for the young college students, for the young believers, discipleship. And then the one behind, the down below it, at the right corner, that's for the pastors, for the pastors, for those who run to the many churches to preach the word of God. And then we realized that there's another thing, is a lot of women believers, sisters, you know, once they were saved, they just run out to preach the gospel, tell people about Jesus. They forget their family. I said, oh no, you cannot do that. Actually, at the very beginning, when we were saved, we did the same thing. But God, by God's mercy, that's brought us back, set us the right priority. Number one is God. Number two is not God's work, not God's mission outside, it's your family. Number three is God's mission work, church work. So that's for the ladies' training, to balance their church service and their home serving. And then we found that's the marriage. As I talked, that's no, even among the churches, so there's no good example, successful marriage. Because people don't know, husband and wife don't know the difference between man and woman, don't know the role and responsibility of being a husband and wife. So that's sad. Tragedy. Are you saved? Yes. Rejoice in the Lord, but don't know how to live a family life. So God's grace, and then that's I learned the family life in Beijing, and our own life was corrected, and then God did this a lot of married things. And actually, my wife rewrote a book called Biblical Portrait of Marriage. God brought in. The Lord brought in. We never had that until that time. Our marriage got corrected, and then that man came, Bob and Susan in Black Mountain. They came with a biblical portrait of marriage, talking about the living, cleaving role of a husband, a role of a wife, responsibility of wife, responsibility of husband. Wow, is exactly what we need. So, the Lord, and then. We went through a lot of persecution. A lot of persecution. I ran from place to place many, many times. But twice they got me. They got me twice. One time is in 1998, on Saturday. It's in June, on Saturday. It's that we were having worship in the morning. But I really told people, I said, be quiet, you know, lower voice. You can't like it in this auditorium. Well, people just could not help. So police broke in and took me away. You know, the Chinese communists, they will condemn you according to your own word. So three guys questioned me. You need to hear this. there is a big officer there, and their secretary there sit by the, you know, face-to-face at the table, and that secretary taking notes. And there is another officer standing here and ordered me to sit there. Say, sit there. They treat you just like a criminal. I sat there. I said, thank you. I sat there in the police station. And everyone lit a cigarette. Chinese people lit a cigarette. And they began to question me. He said, house church meeting is illegal. Don't you know? You know what kind of question this is? House church meeting is illegal. Don't you know? It's a yes and no, both wrong question. If you say yes, see, you are intentionally against the government. Say, this is the law. You know that. If you say you don't know, at that moment I could not say, because I know it's illegal. They want us to be under the government church. Government church, the head is government, it's not Christ. So it's not the church of Christ. So if you don't join the government church, then you are illegal. I know that. So what can I do? Young people, you're smart. What can I do? What can I answer? Yes and no, both wrong. How can I answer? Tell me. Help. Yeah, I said help. I even have no time to say help. The Lord is gracious. I think it's in Matthew chapter 10. The Lord said when people take you to the government officials, you say that you don't need to think of that.
the Lord will give you the answer. Before I experienced this, I said, how could that be? I better think of what kind of question they will question me, and then will give prepare the answer accordingly. But that moment, really, I know, whoa, yes and wrong, no, both wrong. I know that. I realize that the Lord is faithful and gracious. Amen. There's a word came in, WHY. House church meeting is illegal. Why? That could not happen on the earth, right? That's only from there. I said, why? It's like a grenade. He throw it to me. He want to explode here. But I said, why? I throw it back. And he caught it. He said, why? Let me tell you why. And he exploded in his hand. I said, let me tell you why. You have so many people in this small apartment. You sing so loudly. You disturb neighbors. I said, we really feel sorry to hear this. Because we tell our people to lower their voice. But those people, you know, in Christ, it's from Jesus. They found hope. They found peace, love, joy. They found hope. Their life is changed. They cannot help to praise, to sing. I said, you do not understand. Until someday, you're saved. I give that word. I said, sir, you do not understand that unless someday that you're saved. He looked at me like that way. I said, what else? Yeah, I began to question him. I said, what else? He said, what else? Let me say, well, you have so many people in this small apartment. You close the door, you close the windows. Who knows what you are doing inside? I said, sir, we close the door, we close the window just in case we disturb the neighbors. What else? Tell me more. He just had nothing more to say. He asked the other guy, what else? That guy said, hi. That officer said, hi. That's what, actually, we know that Christians are good people. I said, what, sir? You said Christians are good people. Then why you treat good people as criminals? Actually, you said you're right. I said Christians are the best citizens in this country. But you treat the best citizens as criminals. Is that something wrong? He said, "Actually, it's our leaders. It's this government." I said, can I understand that your leaders and your government has some problem? They want to treat the best citizens as criminals. Ooh, that word scared him to death. He was so, you know, communist. You don't know communists. Communists is like this. They just exaggerate things. He said, Mr. Johnson, you look at me in that way, make me feel unpeaceful. You make me feel unpeaceful. I drive home and I have an accident. Accident happened, that's my son, my children, who will take care of them. So you need to pay all the money for their living. That's called exaggeration. Is that right? Communists, they just do that. I talk about that. Oh, he was so scared. He said, no, I don't mean this. He said, well, Mr. Liu, we're so glad that you are here. Well, have a cigarette. You know what that means? Have a cigarette, because most people smoke. Have a cigarette. At the very beginning, every one of them smoke. I don't have the qualification to do the same thing with them. But now, they treat me not as a criminal anymore, like a friend. He said, have a cigarette. I said, have you ever seen any Christian smoke? I said, this is the temple of God. It do harm to the body, it do harm to the temple, and also do harm to the people around. You know the taste of victory? Victory. Victory with Jesus. The Lord was there. Many of the things happened. Really, many, many big miracles happened. My wife was arrested and beaten half death. He was arrested in Beijing. After she came home, I could hardly recognize her. Her hairs were messed up. Her face was sweating. And she wore black pants. The black pants has a lot of shoe prints. I feel very bad. I said, hey, how did they treat you? She said this. She said, well, this is the cup of the Lord for me. And then she said, you know what? God has grace at that moment. I said, what grace? She said, number one, when they beat me, it's not that much pain that I could not stand. Number two, they tried to threaten me. They said that we just dig a hole outside and then bury you there. Your stupid Jesus will save you. She said, when they try to threaten me, they do that. You know, for communists, they just dig a hole, bury a person, just like a bury a mouse, bury a groundhog. But she said, I don't have that much fear. I tell you the truth. When she came back home from the first night, 43 nights, she screamed and had low fever. Why? Because of fear. Make us think of Elijah on the Carmel Mountain. The Lord was there with him, that he overcame 450 false prophets. But when he came down, he ran 40 days, 40 nights. Huh? So God was with his people, no matter what he allowed them to go through. God has grace, sufficient grace with them. So in 2005, actually, there's also that big miracles happened. I just very shortly talk about this. My wife got pregnant. Five groups of policemen came to my home to arrest me, but no one laid hand on me. You read John chapter 7. You will know that. That Bible verse is there. Verse 30, verse 32, verse 34. Jesus was there. That's how he talked, who he was, made the Jewish people angry, and they said someone to seize him, right, Mr. Johnson? But no one laid hand on him. 32, they sent temple guards. Mr. Nunberg, temple guards, is that police? Police, yes, Mr. Nunberg said, is that police? Policemen were there. They empty hands back. And then verse 40 said, someone to seize him, but no one laid hands on him. I said, how could that be? And then, until that thing happened on me. But they forced me to write a promise, never broke Chinese law, otherwise they will punish me. So, by the end of that year, my wife got pregnant. Oh, that's a terrible thing, because in China there's only one child policy. One child, here is most of y'all have brothers and sisters, but in China, most of the people have only himself or herself. We realized this is horrible, so send an email to Pastor Jerry. Pastor Jerry sent back an email, said, well, come to the States. I said, come to the States. My wife got pregnant. Come to the States. That's the easiest. That moment, the end of 2004, is the most difficult time to get a visa from U.S. Embassy. And I remember the Pastor Jerry and Mike Roy said that if the Lord's hand brought you out, man could not stop. I said, wow, that sounds right. And then they sent us the invitation letter. We went to U.S. Embassy. The U.S. Embassy. We got there. My wife's pregnancy is horrible by then. She said she got sweaty, she got vomit, headache. She was just like noodle. She could not stand even. But in Beijing, land up in the embassy for 3 hours. Have to land up one by one. They were, you know, apply. She felt perfect. I said, how do you feel? She said, perfect. Praise the Lord. Lord is here. Just pray. So all the time, I asked her many times, she said, just pray, just pray. God is good. I know that the Lord is good. Otherwise, how could that make? He would not make it. You will hear this. So many people were turned down. One lady said, was turned down. He said, I have been to the state for over 20 times. And that officer said, you have been to the state too many times. So, my wife and I, our time, we went to the window. This is the window. That's the officer. And he asked my wife, after he got the passport and the application, he said, why do you want to go to the States? My wife said, well, I go to visit my relatives. That's one of the worst answer I ever heard. If you say you have relatives, you go to visit relatives, right at that moment, you'll be thrown out, turned down, because you have the tendency of immigration.
And that officer, I look at that officer. The officer asked one more question. He said, "You have a relative in the States?" "Oh, my wife, my dear wife," gave a most horrible answer. You cannot imagine that answer. What answer is that? Her answer is that he said, "I have a very big family in the States. God bless you. I have a very big family in the States. God bless you." My heart realized, I said, "Die." Done. But you know what? I look at that officer. I look at him. My wife look at him. This is what happened. I feel there is a power, invisible power, dominated that space. I look at that man. That man put the... Okay. Suppose this is passport. That man said this. Okay, next one. He dare not even to look at me and my wife. He dare not to look at me and my wife. He just said, "Okay, surrender. Okay, next one." I turn around, say, "Thank you, Lord." I walked her. There are three lines of people. I walked her to the very back of the very end of that first line, and then I walk one more line, two, third. After the third line, this is the door of that hall. That's the number four window. Right then, I heard my wife's name called. "Jian Hua Yu, your visa is ready. Call U.S. Embassy, Beijing. Find out the quickest visa people can get, at least take 3 hours. Is he real?" 1 minute. Right after I heard that voice, he said, "Jian Hua Yu, your visa is ready." My tear came out. There's a word as a song, the last song we sing, "Hallelujah. Hallelujah." One last thing. Actually, there's one thing I have to let you know. This is the Lord. She came to the States by herself because I have 3 months more of my passport. She has to go by herself, first time to take plane, first time to go abroad. Pregnant for 3 months. Got in Detroit, custom was called there. They hold her there for about 5.5 hours. I received a call from Mike. Mike Roy called me. He said, "Leo, pray for your wife. Your wife is stopped by the custom." So many, many hours, my knees is on the floor. Later, finally, I got his another call. He said, they let her go. She's supposed to change her plan 3 hours later in Detroit. Listen, 3 hours later. He has 3 hours to change her plane. Means 3 hours later, her plane supposed to take off. They hold her for over 5 hours. After they let her go, she has taken the plane, you know, for about 20 hours since the time they got up, and then hold there for 5 hours, so frustrated at a new place, so tired with the pregnancy, and then take a big luggage. She just numb to take the passport and also the boarding pass, walk to the entrance where she's supposed to take the plane 2.5 hours ago. She went there, got there, presented her boarding pass, get on the plane. 10 minutes later, that plane take off. Everyone knows something wrong with the plane. There is a mechanic problem with the plane. Checking. But we can see there is much bigger hand there. Amen. It's so clear to see that his hand is there. No, my daughter is not on yet. She got on for 10, I think she said something like 10 to 15 minutes. He said, the plane took off.
Yeah, we came to this today's, well, many people ask me, how can you came to the EI? Came to the EI because Jerry White, the one who led me to the Lord, is a board member of here. So he sent us with Mark Marbury. He sent us here with my family. But then we have four. See, that's our family. Here, beautiful family, huh? Amen. So after that, just after graduating from here, this is a place. It's such a spiritual place for us. It's a new, everything for me is new. So we have to learn English, Bible, we have to, everything that's, but I say this, this is a place the Lord met me. I met the Lord. The Lord has a real divine appointment with me for almost 2 years. 1.5 years. Learned so many things here. And God changed me so much. And I'm thankful for those servants that through them that gave me a lot of teaching. And then after graduation, I pastored in Chinese Christian Church for 4.5 years. Then the Lord called me out. Because a lot of things in this United States, in the churches, troubled me. I realized that the Chinese the church buildings are everywhere, but a lot of people don't have the life of Christ. So in this year, on January the 3rd, I went to Southside Christian School. There are over 500 people there. Very few people sing hymns. And I realized that people have no interest to the salvation, to Christ Jesus, the living, loving Savior. So I was so burdened, I went back home, prayed for 4 nights, 4 days. On the very early morning of January the 6th, the Lord gave me 3 words, woke me up, back for clothing. That 3 words, back for clothing. I said, what, Lord? Make it clear. So I kneeled down, and the Lord showed me that. He said, many of the people, students, even some teachers in that school, is naked in the eyes of the Lord. He said, not just the school, but many churches, many people, many church members. They don't have the righteousness of Christ. They don't have personal relationship with the Lord. They're just religious people. So from then on, the Lord brought me that Bible verse, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. It said, Jesus went all the villages, cities, went towns, villages, teaching the synagogue, preached the gospel, and healed sickness. So I realized that's very clear the Lord brought me on the road. So I began to visit town by town, road by road, till today. Road by road, town by town. I visited 217 churches from then on. All around these towns. So a lot of places I went to speak on Sunday. Most of Sundays I'm speaking. They ask me, say, how did you come to our church? I said, by knocking. Knocking. I knocked the door. I knocked many doors. Many doors closed. No people there. Found out a lot of things. But the Lord is gracious. That's the places he brought me to. And still a lot of people are saved. Say in May. There are 32. Receive the Lord. I don't know. People ask me, how many people are saved? I said, I don't know. The Lord knows saving people is the Lord's business. But they received into their heart. He said, that, hey, this Jesus Christ is not just a knowledge, some knowledge. Bible scripture is not just knowledge. It's Jesus Christ is real. He's a Savior. You got to have him in your life. Otherwise, you're not a Christian yet. So this is new. The red on the right hand, the left hand. That young man is our TV broken. We don't have cable, but we have some VCR. So I checked the Craigslist. There is a man who sells TV. I went to see him. He was mad with his girlfriend and his daughter, and his girlfriend has a girlfriend. I said it's a mess, and I talked with him. I said, calm down. Let me talk for a while. I talked with him. I said, you need Jesus in your heart. You got to have him in your heart, in your life. Your life, you can't be like this. He felt very thankful. He said, okay, sir, you want to lead me to him? I said, I'm an evangelist. He said, really? He received the Lord. So praise the Lord. The other one is in the nursing home, James Martin. This is at the nursing home. A lot of people, nine people received the Lord, and then at the crusade, Chinese, 4 people received the Lord. There are so many people on this land. They need the living God. Amen? They need the living Lord. So this is my family. See, you remember the family when we just came here? There are four people, right? Now how many? There's six, huh? Two more. Came Joseph and Joy. Yeah, we feel very thankful. And we got the citizenship. And then the Lord, it's time for us to go back. Yeah, we plan to go back in September. I want to say this. This is the last word that I want to say. God has a plan for me. You know that. God could save a person who desperate. Some people ask me, what changed you? I said, number one, a desperate situation. I realized how dirty, how helpless I am. I said, number two, I have a strong desire to be delivered. I want to be changed. Number three, I have a willing heart to receive. Whoever can help me, I want to receive. Number four, the Lord is merciful and real. He is a living, loving Lord, God, and Savior. So He knows our need. He has a plan for me. He has a plan for you. If He could save me, He could save everyone. I know that how worthless I am. I'm worse, but no, as the song said, I know who I am. Praise the Lord. I am so thankful today that I could witness before the Lord to all of you that Jesus Christ is real. So many times He delivered us out of danger. So many times He provided for us. So many times He clearly directed my life. Only in Him, knowing what He's planned for you, and that's the meaning of our life. It's not in the future what a good job you have, how much money you have, what a big house or what car you have. No, the first number one thing is that you have a personal, real relationship with Jesus, the living Savior. I'm thankful. I know that today that the Lord has a divine appointment with all of you here, starting from today. May He meet everyone. May every one of you meet Him richly at this place. This place gave me it's a new spiritual step for me, a stop for me. May this place be a spiritual place for your whole life. That's all. The Lord bless you all. May the Lord continue to meet you from today till forever. Amen. God bless you.